Well, I get a couple extra minutes to preach. Junior church is a little short-handed, and Jeff, he was supposed to sing. So he thought he better stay down there. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember, this is fifth Sunday tonight, fifth Sunday singing. I don't know how many we have signed up. But you know, we always threaten you if we don't have enough singers, we just turn up and preach. And that always does the job. Well, I want to be wonderful in heaven. We'll just be singing and praising God, and we won't need no preaching up there. But God, He's made promises for the preaching of the cross. May be foolish to the world, but it's the power of God into salvation. Paul, in this chapter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he's speaking of, and we're not going to deal really with that, but his spiritual authority that God has given him. And the church of Corinth had a little trouble, I think, accepting that. We begin with verse 1, read through verses 5. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. They thought Paul in his writing was very strong and good, but in his presence he was kind of puny. And I'm sure Paul's eyes were bad and runny, and he was not much to look at probably. But we know about his writing under inspiration of God that God used him in a great way. But I beseech you, in verse 2, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we had a subject this morning, at least that would be sort of the main thought, is that of the guarding of our mind. Well, your mind is a valuable trophy over which there's a battle. Fierce battle is constantly being waged for our minds. Paul likened the human mind to a stronghold. That's a focal point of a strategy of war. You know, you got to, in war, see where the strongholds are. In this battle that's going on in our world, that's where it is. I mean, there's a battle after the mind. And in this message, we want to concern ourselves with toughening or guarding God's temple. This building here is not God's temple. We call it Victory Baptist Temple. We all know, I trust, that our bodies is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a temple of God. And specifically, we want to think about our minds, that we might operate effectively in this spiritual conflict. Would you all agree that we're in a battle? I mean, Satan will come right in here and he'll capture your mind. And even though I've tried to prepare and I'm going to read out of God's holy word that will be profitable, he'll capture your mind and you'll leave without getting anything, brother. Because that's where the conflict is. And you notice our scripture is speaking of warfare concerning the thought life. In these verses, he mentions imaginations, knowledge, and thoughts. No doubt about it. The human mind is a battlefield in the spiritual matter. Mighty forces are striving for the control of our minds, the station of our mind. God wants your mind and my mind because He wants you, and He wants me, and He won't have you, and He won't have me if He don't have our mind. Because we've been bought with a price. We sung about that this morning, about His blood. And I didn't know. But we are bought, purchased by His precious blood. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And it's obvious that if He doesn't control our thoughts, He won't control us. Whoever controls our mind and thoughts is going to control. That's why we need to understand something. We need to be, if the world controls our thoughts, they're going to control us. If Satan controls our thinking, he's going to control us. The command to every Christian is to love the Lord thy God. And that's the greatest commandment. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But why is the human mind so important? Because we are what we think. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The scripture tells us that the thought is the father of the deed. After we think, it affects our actions. I don't think there's any action take place until it's thought. An old proverb puts it like this, sow a thought, you reap a deed. Sow a deed, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. The whole process starts in the area of thought, in the mind itself. So Satan has strong desire. I went in and got a haircut in the barber. I don't know what brought it up, but if you go to Mike's site, you're going to talk church or something like that, which is all right. I mean, of course, it don't do much good just to talk church, but. Because most time you talk church, you just talk problems. But anyway, he said, man, he said, boy, the devil is, he never gives up after you. He just, he thought I was a priest, I think, he was doing some confessing. And I just sat there and nodded my head. Yeah, he don't. Because I experienced the same thing. Now, if he's already got you, you know, there's no fight going on. If about all you think of is the things of this world and temporal things and carnal things, well, he's already got you. But you start thinking on, you know, spiritual things, the eternal things, the real things. Because this world it's so temporal that it's not really reality. This world's going to pass away. And all the lust, boy, there's lust now going on in the world, but it's going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And it all starts with truth in the mind and heart. And so we need to guard the door. Guard the door. And in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtleties, so your minds shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What a horrible concept a corrupted mind. I don't know. I can't see into the mind, so I don't know how many corrupted minds we've got sitting in the audience this morning. But, I know this, that every mind that you let Satan through the door, you've got some corruption in your mind. On the picture in the wall of your mind, you may have some things hung there that's very corrupt. And Satan will bring it back to you. And he wants to corrupt. Now, furthermore, the devil knows he can disgrace the testimony of a sincere Christian through the mind and bring heartaches and ruin if he can capture his control center, the mind. If Satan can get us to think a wrong thought, it's very likely that he'll get us to do a wrong thing. I mean, if we start thinking wrong thoughts, they just don't stay in thoughts. They become action. Satan's aware that God has already destroyed the entire civilization one time in the past. You know why he destroyed it? That's probably one of the reasons why we know the end is coming near, because our society is so much like Noah's generation. And let's look at it in Genesis 6, 5 through 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made man. Satan, he's very well aware of that. So the devil has a well-laid plan and strategy. Boy, doesn't he have tools to work with today. Man, about all of our society's got something stuck in the ear all the time. Let me say this. It's too bad that they're not talking to heaven. It's too bad on Facebook that they're not facing God now with the truth. It's too bad that we just get caught up in gossip and trying to catch up on gossip and all the junk of the world. And I guarantee you, in the final analysis, you'll see that that's one of Satan's tools. TV and all this other electronic junk. I know you say it can be used for good. Yes, it can. But is it? It can sure be used for bad, too. And I just throw that in. And he knows that he can disgrace the church. And he's doing it. And he has a well-laid plan and strategy. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, we are not ignorant of his devices, Paul said. Boy, if he was writing today, I mean, if he was preaching up here today, what would he say? Paul had pulled the veil of darkness from the enemy and exposed his method. And that's what we need to do. I know you don't, some of you don't like to. You couldn't live. You can't go 5 minutes but without looking at this thing. I sit around. I'll be honest with you. I'm getting by fine. I don't have any of it. If I had it, I wouldn't have the meditation that I had in my office yesterday morning and got with God. And he changed my mind a little bit about what we're going to preach this morning. But, brother, I had a good time. Hey, don't you think that it might, just might be good for you if you would talk to heaven more and quit talking to everybody else and wanting to know what's going on? Don't you think that might work? I know. You're already sold out. But we're going to still try to pull the veil of darkness off of your mind Satan that you see. Satan blinds the mind of the unsaved. If you're here today and unsaved, you live in a peerless time. If he can blind the church people and blind God's people, what do you think he's doing to you? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it speaks of blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shine unto them. That's the only way they're going to get saved. But they're not going to get saved when you're talking to them unless you take the gospel to them. And Facebook and some of that might be a good tool to do that. And I'd encourage you, if you're going to use it, use it that way. A spiritual blinded mind is one that cannot see or perceive spiritual truth. And that individual's eyes need to be opened to Christ. That's why Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're talking about a spiritual thing now. Let me say this. You better want to get out of this old physical world enough to get into the spiritual world and realize that you have to be born again of the Spirit of God. And it's just not that you pray just a little prayer and as we've been told, you're in. Brother, it's more to it than that. If we are dead in our trespasses and sin and we have to be quickened, it is a spiritual resurrection from death. No preacher or anyone else can quicken somebody and cause them that's dead in sin and dead eternally to be quickened and be alive in Christ, but the Holy Spirit power of God and the truth of God. That spiritual dead person needs to. My mind need to be open to Christ. That's why don't scold a blind person for not seeing. You cannot see. Don't go out there and rail on a lost person and at least about their lifestyle and all that. You're foolish. Good grief. They can understand. The devil's already told him if you get saved, you're going to have to do thus and thus and thus. I'll be honest with you. If I'd have never got saved when I was 9 years old, I'm kind of glad because I'm glad I didn't take up drinking. I guarantee you I wouldn't be standing here healthy as I am. And I wouldn't have been able to live in a body that I could have been able to enjoy. I'm glad I didn't take up smoking and have emphysema that couldn't breathe. Even if there wasn't no hereafter. Brother, let me say this. What God says in His Word will work and you'll live a better life if there wasn't no heaven and hell. But there is a heaven and hell. Lost people, we need to pray for them. That God will lift the blindfold, the blindness from their eyes, that they can see. Man, that happened to me when I was 9 years old. And God, He speaks through His Word, of course, and He speaks through providence. And I've told you over and over again, when Grandma Graham died, great-grandma died, the first death that I'd realized that ever happened in a community that I was aware of, and in the family. People die. What's death? Huh? Man. People die. Where do they go when they die? You know, the perverse mind. How does the devil gain entrance into the Christian's thought life? Paul said in chapter 11, verse 3, but I fear lest any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And because Christians can have corrupted minds also, there's saints across the world feel with anxiety and fear. Brother, let me say, God's not the author of anxiety and fear. Faith is a cure for fear. And boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that's overcome by that. Chilling inner doubts have come to hide the stars of hope in a person's life. Impurities, cares and worries wear away the health like sand does to a machine. You might ask, how does the devil gain entrance into the Christian's thought life? He comes in through the unguarded door. You've got to guard the door. To the eye gap. And what we look at is going to affect us. I mean, our eyes take a picture of it and it comes back over and over again. The devil will bring it back. We got to guard. I never did get hooked on any pornography, but we had the Hay Boys moved in our community, and we was in grade school, and they went to another little grade school with my cousin, which was Uncle Arley, a Baptist preacher's son, Bob. These Hay Boys, they had access to pornography. I only got just a little glimpse. I'm glad I didn't get any more glimpse of what I got. But let me say this. A lot of people's hooked on pornography. And it's got in through the eye gate. And man, I'll tell you what, you can't watch TV till you get hooked on the sun. Comes through the unguarded door. You've got to guard the door through which Satan enters the compound of the soul. And to corrupt the mind and the perverse mind, unconfessed, harbored sin. You go, hey, you got sin in your life that's unconfessed, you're leaving the door wide open. Brother, the Bible says we don't let the sun go down on our sin. We are to confess our sin daily and keep the devil out. There's in Ephesians 4, and I don't think we'll take time to read all of it, but you need to read it sometime. That in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The older I get, the more I despise the work of the flesh. And then it says that, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, wherefore putting off away lying, speak every man the truth. He mentions putting off and putting on. You know, and he said in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any place. When any Christian allows the sun goes down and we don't confess our sin, we're leaving the door open. Leaving him open. Probably leaving him open to do a little dreaming. And that's why it says, if we confess our sins in 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. Satan is out there firing his fiery darts right at your mind. And that unconfessed sin becomes a stronghold for Satan to hurl that fiery darts. And comes doubts. Hey, let me say this. You'll have doubts of salvation if you don't, if you know that there's sin in your life, I guarantee you. If you don't have, boy, he's really got you. If you think you can live like the world, live because if the world is your master, how can you hold on to the fact you're going to heaven? There's only two masters. Boy, I tell you what, we live, most of the church is deceived. We take this doctrine of grace and make a disgrace out of it. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven where I want to or not because I'm saved. Let me say this. If you don't want to go to heaven, I guarantee you by the Scripture, you're not saved. And if you feel comfortable with fellowshipping with the world and you don't feel uneasy, I'll be honest with you, we live in a world that I don't even like to spend much time out there. I went in, Imogene and the girls went doing a little shopping yesterday, and I thought, if I'm going to get anything to eat, I better go to the restaurant. And I went into the restaurant. I sat over at the table by myself. But I heard an old boy talking to the waitress in a very vulgar way. I thought, what a shame. What a shame. Sad. Corruption. Let no corrupt communication, verse 29, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that he may minister grace unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit grieved in your life? Whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. Well, I was sitting there, and I thought, Ecclesiastes 12:1 come to my mind. I turned to the to read, and it said in verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, neither the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened. In other words, man, your eyesight's good, your hearing's good. Remember your Creator before Satan's got in, messed you up for the evil days. Man, praise God. Hey, I'll be honest with you. We're losing a society of young people because all the junk that Satan's cramming into their mind. Say amen. You know I'm preaching the truth this morning. Don't sit there. Hey, there's a lot at stake. I wish that we could see what's going on. There's a lot at stake. We could try to close every door to Satan and open them up to the Scripture. And we go to church and say, preacher, open up the book and help us. We need help. Just taking ourselves and our old carcass in church and setting it down and not taking in the right things in our minds, that our minds can be washed with the Word of God. Oh, you may not remember much, but I'll tell you what, when you read through the Scripture, it's like a strainer. It may go on through, but your mind will be a lot cleaner. So I was sitting there, I thought about Ecclesiastes 12. In verse 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave them good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. He said, you know, if you want to see the process of life, read Ecclesiastes 12. And then you'll think about James chapter 4, no doubt. It says, wherefore you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for season. You know why young people need now to remember the Creator? You need to now. I'm glad you guys, ladies, are sitting on the front pew. I'd rather preach to you all. You're not quite set in your ways. Your life, Your minds are not set up quite like concrete yet. But it will be. I mean, it will be. You know, when a baby is born, you don't want to shake them around. They tell their brain's kind of mush like mush. When you were born, that's why you don't want to shake a baby. As you begin to engage in the thought process and the procession of behavior, you begin to form pattern in your life, habits. And you begin to act in a certain way. And usually you act in a certain way because of what you've been taught and how you've been disciplined and trained. That's why God says to us parents, train up a child in the way they should go. Train them. Oh, you can train a dog to do a lot of things. You can train a horse. Why in the world can't you train a child? I tell you, you won't be able to train them when you're letting everybody else put all the junk in their minds. Amen, preacher. I know you ain't going to shout over what I'm preaching today, and I don't care about you shouting. But brother, let me say, it's about time we'd realize Satan's devices, and we'd realize that, hey, these babies in the nursery, the parents need to take them and say to Satan, you're not going to get this one. Brother, I'm going to guard that mind of this child and see that the right thing's put in it. Brother, you sow the right seed in a field and you'll get a harvest. You sow it with the weeds and junk of the world and you'll get a harvest. You know, and the more you act in a certain way, young people, the more that fur in your mind digs out of fur. It becomes a part of your actual physical chemistry of your brain. The problem is that over time, your brain is hardened, just like concrete. We all know how concrete is. A truck backs up, and you've had farms. And by the way, that's why you need to set farms around a child's life. Boundaries. And because that holds in. But that truck fills out that concrete and you level it off and you can take a pencil and write your name on there if you want to. But let it set for 2 or 3 hours. Let it set for a day. And you're going to have a jackhammer. Let me say this. I see young people get, before they get 20, the only way their lives are going to be changed is God's going to have to take a jackhammer. You preach to them and they laugh in your face. They cut up a lot of times. They don't give a hoot what you have to say, preacher. They don't have respect for God's word. And I'm not talking about kids that parents are not in church. I'm talking about church kids. You can, here's the problem with your character. You think you have a lot of time. Somehow, kids think that they're not to be, what's the word? Solemn. There's another word for it. The Bible has to say, it uses a word. Sober-minded, isn't it? We think kids are supposed to ha 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 ha. Man, it's about time there's so much at stake that there's time to be sober minded. Get serious. All age groups need to get serious about serious things, and when we don't, we're fooling ourselves. Fooling ourselves. And you might say, hey, you get on rock, hard rock music and all the junk, and I guarantee you it takes its hold on you, and you say, one of these days I'm going to fix that and throw them away. No, you need help now. You better determine you're going to put the right music in your mind and get rid of that junk that Satan uses. I've seen many young people hit their 20s and 30s with character flaws they wish they didn't have to carry with them the rest of their life. Be careful what poor character qualities you allow in your life. You'll tote around that bad habit the rest of your life. that disrespect. Every young person ought to have some respect for their elders and those that are over them. You know why? Because God, that's the way God planned it. And what will happen, you don't have no respect for your parents, you're going to lose the job because you're going to go to work and you won't have no respect for the boss. And you're going to get married and you don't have respect for your mate and you're going to have a divorce. You'll have a haughty attitude. And you thought it was just for your teacher or your preacher. Now it cost you your marriage. And that violent temper, you thought it was okay to lose, and it has caused you to slap your child in the face that you've not even controlled. And that's it began way back there. And that character, you thought you had plenty of time to change. It won't be changed except God gets one of his jackhammers out and works on you. You don't have much time to change. It's pride. It's pride that keeps people in the condition they're in. It's pride this morning that will keep people that ought to come to this altar from coming to the altar. It's rotten pride. And pride and haughty spirit go before a fall. Jesus set the right example, and Paul talked about it in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion of men, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him and given him a name. And you know that's exactly what he'll do to you. You humble yourself. God resists the proud. Amen? You read it? What does he do to the humble? Huh? Gives grace. Boy, don't we need the grace of God. I want his grace and I want his forgiveness. He gives grace. God hates pride because he knows, by the way, that's what happened to the angels, Lucifer. He had pride, exalted himself. You know what you need? As a young person, you need to accomplish something for the Lord. You may have a poor self-image, and you won't have if you start working for God. Brother, I guarantee you, you'll realize that we can do some things. We don't have to be the most talented. My, if I'd have thought God was just looking for talent, he wouldn't have looked for me. He looked for somebody, a barefooted boy, grew up on a farm. And I'll be honest with you, boy, I know I need the Lord. I've got called to pastor a church when I hadn't been called to preach for just a few weeks, and I knew very little scripture. Do you know something? God was with me. Them people, hey, they just at that point, I needed it, and I cut my preacher's teeth in some little churches that they just need a humble kid preacher. The humbleness of the gospel. Let me say this, we all need to get back to it some and humble ourselves and become obedient. Die to self. Brother, hey, you want to get in bounds of the blessings of God, you'll have to do that. God's not going to bless you until you humble yourself and get in. As a church, we're not going to see revival until if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, seek my favor, turn from their wicked ways. You get inside the bounds of God's blessings and you get them. So I thought, what is your life? I went through it again. Man, every time I think about, what is your life? Parker, what's your life? What's it all about? I mean, what's the testimony of your life? What's the character of your life? What is the communication of your life? What about it, Parker? because it's passing by, you know. And it's most of it's gone. It's like a vapor. It's like a fast ship at sea. It appears for a season. I've appeared here on this earth. But your kids, you only have a short time. You don't have no second chance. Brother, you need to take serious your family.
Yes, amen.
Man, God help us. You young people, I know you think the whole world just made for you. And let me say this. If you're a spoilt brat, you're miserable. If you're one of them that you cause your parents to spend more money on you than they would have to, and they haven't got it to spend, but you've got to have designer jeans or clothes, you are spoilt rotten. Brother, if I was your parent, I'd buy the cheapest kind I'd get for you. You know why? Not because of the money necessarily, because that's exactly what you need. God help us. We spoil them rotten, and nobody can hardly stand them. And not all of them. And we take them to church, and we need to take them to church and make sure they're set in front of us where we can see if they're listening to the preacher or they're cutting up. I appreciate you guys on the front row. And I'm not being hard on you. I'm just trying to challenge you a little bit. I'm getting ready to wind down here. You know, I've come to the conclusion I'm wasting my time trying to chase people who don't want anything for their life. If you're one of them that don't want anything better than what you got, I can't help you. You don't have a desire in your heart to fulfill God's plan for your life, I can't help you. I'd like to go somewhere sometime, and I thank God it's not all that way. But we're getting a place where most Baptist churches don't want. And if the preacher starts preaching what really helped them, I mean, they want to go to church and the preacher get up there behind the sacred desk and lie to them. God help us. God help us. And sometime we'll open that old hymn book and say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And let me say, we just sang a lie. We don't love Him like we ought to. God help us. What is your life? It's like a vapor. With this thought in mind, what does your life be about? When we think about that, what should life be about? I'll tell you what it needs to be about, and I know it's so far away from most of our thinking. Our life ought to be holy. Holy. And Romans 12 says we need to present our body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is not unreasonable. It's a reasonable service. Baptists used to believe in a little sanctification, a little holiness, but not hardly anymore. But that's what our life ought to be. Starting when we're young, we need to be taught God's holy. The average Christian teenager don't have one holy bone in their body. But holiness equates to our closeness to God. You're not holy if you're not close to God. And you don't want to be close to God. If you're one of them that'd rather be out there with the world and doesn't bother you. And I know, you say, "Well, preacher, that's not any fun." Have you ever tried it? Hey, I'll tell you what, it'll be quite a bit of fun when you get up dating age and you decide you're going to date the girl or the boy that God gives you, and you get married and you do it right, and you rear family and you see them in church and serving God. Yeah. It gets more fun all the time.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher. Brother, it gets fun. It gets fun to see God working in their life. It gets fun when my son comes by and he preaches to me and exhorts to me. It gets fun. There's no fun seeing them when you have to worry about grandchildren and great-grandchildren because they don't not being raised right. You go to sleep at night and wake up worrying about it. That's no fun. You better decide what's really fun in the wrong run. And furthermore, it's going to be fun through eternity when we do right. Amen. Well, what I'm saying is we better guard that door. Satan's after that mind. You better know that holiness. The reason you don't feel close to God, your sin has separated you between you and your God. Your tolerance for sin's off of the chart. We're so tolerant for sin. I'll tell you what the problem is. The acceptance and availability of sin among people is just off of the chart. We just think anything can go. And as I said earlier, we take that grace business where sin abounds. Well, nobody's perfect. But I wonder why the Bible says, be you perfect. And that word most of the time needs complete. As the Son of God is perfect. We have this old philosophy, well, nobody's perfect. And when the kids are young, they got to sow wild oats. Yeah, and you get a wild harvest too. Because we put the wrong thing in our mind. I know exactly what I'm looking at. When I preach, I know exactly what I'm looking at. I know the kind of world I'm looking at. I'm looking at most of the time, and a lot of times, at parents who need to get into the book and take serious their responsibility as parents. I'll be honest with you. I'm not worried about my position because I'm too old for that. I never have worried about it. I wouldn't start now. But I'll tell you the truth, because at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to face anybody. And you said, preacher, if you'd had the courage to tell us the truth, my job's done. Man, I can sleep tonight if I tell you the truth. What is your life? It ought to be holy. What's your life? Your life ought to be about others and not about yourself so much. Others, Lord. Let me live for others. You young people ought to want to be a blessing to your parents, not a worry to them. What in the world? Your mother went through death to bring you into the world. Well, you said, my mom and dad's not very good parents. Well, they're still your parents. And you're supposed to honor your parents. And by the way, that's a promise that you'll live longer when you do that. Kids could be such a blessing to their parents. And I'm not saying that. Maybe, I don't know you. God just laid this on my heart. But let me say this. Satan is after the door of your mind. We're only here a short time. We're moving out. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And tell you the truth about it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to have abundant life. Boy, you'll have a good time in your home if you got true love there. And you got family that wants to serve God, because you can't walk in fellowship with even family members if you don't agree. If I have family members who don't want to serve God and they're going to live wicked and they're going to come in with their wickedness, I'll be honest with you. We're not going to have any fellowship. And I pray for them and tell them I love them, but there's no agreement between light and darkness. And if you're here this morning lost, Satan's after your mind. If he's already got you, or you'd already hit the altar before now. So God, be merciful to me, because even while this service is going on, the rapture may appear one Sunday morning. We be caught up out of here. Just like that. And you be left behind, go through the tribulation period. And we're nearing that time. We're nearing that time. And I know what you're going to say. I've heard that for year after year. I know you have. But that's what the Bible says. Sure. Because God is not concerned about 10 years or 20 years, 100 years. Even 1,000 years in the light of eternity is a short time. But you'll have to agree, things are kind of out of control now. And boy, they are like we're on a wild horse now. You better get things right in your heart and life. Let's bow our heads. Father.